The Red Eye Radio podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. As we move into a Friday, hey kids, it's the bonus show.
Oh man, we're finally done.
I heard President Trump say that he wanted to improve the relations with Russia. I believe we have to. We can't be in this unending confrontation with Russia. We have to find a way to stabilize that relationship and to professionalize that relationship, as well as to stop them from doing what they did in 2016 again in 2020. I understand that for many members this may be hearsay. I've talked about things I heard with my own ears. I understand that Ambassador Sondland has said a lot of things. I've told you what he told me and what others told me. A lot of other people have said things to me again as well, and also to Mr. Holmes, and we're here to relate to you what we heard, what we saw, and what we did.
Why? Is this a conference on or a get-together on Russia-foreign relations?
Yeah. What are we doing here?
What does this have to do with?
Is it a vote?
If the president committed a crime, it was another day, the final day. That was Fiona Hill, Russia expert on the National Security Council. And she was a mixed bag all over the place.
Yeah, it was kind of odd.
Democrats didn't get what they want. But look, where she lost credibility and it was something that was so, and the Republicans attacked her for it because she was throwing out the same narrative that you and I were talking about the other day.
Yeah.
You got to pay attention to what the Democrats are doing. And we mentioned it the other day on the air that, do you notice the narrative? They're coming out saying the Republicans are saying that Russia was not involved in the 2016 election and it was only the Ukraine.
Yeah.
She did the same thing and was attacked for it. I don't know one Republican who has said that.
Nope.
Not one.
No.
And so when she did that, everything else you have to view as being suspect, because that was such an obvious lie for anybody who has been paying attention. And for somebody in her position, she knows it's a lie.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I think the way that this ended, the public testimony ended on Thursday, and we predicted that it would be, it was really indicative of this whole thing, of how these folks are on a mission. They really are. If you look at them, David Limbaugh on Twitter, he's had some pretty good thoughts this week. But one of the thoughts he put across is, you know, it's amazing how, and I'm paraphrasing, it's amazing how much self-promotion there is by these witnesses trying to lift themselves and put themselves at a higher plane, well, I guess, than the president.
That's calculated by the Democrats.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing is these are pure people. Mm-hmm. These are people that are totally pure.
Yeah.
That have no axe to grind and aren't attempting to protect their own turf or their own ideas.
Right.
That they believe that because they are pure, that what they believe is more right than what the president believes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, I'm not saying in these cases it was. I'm just saying in general, well, yeah, that can happen.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
You know, I can go back to MacArthur and Truman.
Yeah, right.
Do you know how many people in this country said, wow, we back MacArthur? Well, Truman fired him.
Yeah.
And people were upset, but guess what? MacArthur doesn't get to make the call in the Korean conflict. He doesn't get to do that.
Right.
And I remember in the 60s, still the late 60s, I remember my father would be having discussions. There were people still ticked off that MacArthur got fired.
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, look at when Mattis left. You know, clearly there was a disagreement and the approach or tactics by the commander-in-chief. But guess what? He's the commander-in-chief. With all due respect, of those who serve at the top, he's more at the top. In fact, it doesn't get higher. You know, it really is. If you look at it, it looks like some kind of movie plot. It looks like a conspiracy theory, but it really isn't. We have to remind people. I saw a lot of it on social media during the day on Thursday. You know, the big conspiracy theory. While you may have groups conspiring together, a couple of people here and there in handfuls, and no doubt, I believe at the Justice Department, you certainly had at least a couple of them. They were lovers. And you had to... they were conspiring, all right. But it is a mindset. It was the outright refusal to accept the legitimate presidency of Donald Trump,
right,
by either Never Trumpers or liberals. I really don't even care anymore where they stand politically, because it is, if they act the same in the end, if it drives them to the same behavior, I don't care what they want to call themselves. It is, in my opinion, it's despicable behavior.
I wonder if it backfires, though, all the self-promotion, as you said, and you and I have talked about it, and then you had mentioned in our pre-show meeting, just mentioned now that, you know, David Limbaugh said, I've never seen such self-promotion in
right.
this.
Right.
It got to the point where, again, you overshoot.
Yeah.
You attempt to portray that these people are pure, pure of heart, that there is no politics involved in it. That they are so pure that whatever they think, and we're gonna lay out their resume for you, and we're going to hype up the resume. We're going to accentuate the positive here, you know, in their resume and what great, incredible. But that doesn't mean anything. The only thing that means anything is the evidence that's presented in court.
Right.
We know how that is. We know how that's used. But as I told you, it got to the point where my father was watching it the other day and watched Vindman, and he was just like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my father said, I listened for about a minute, and I just went, this guy. And my father really hasn't been paying attention as much as, you know, he might have in the past, just to news that's out there. I mean, my dad's old. But he just said, what's your indication of, he goes, what do you think about Vindman? And I said, what do you think? And he said, I think the guy's got an ego out of control.
Mm-hmm.
He said he comes across to me as being slimy.
Right.
And he said, now, I could be wrong. He said, I'm just telling you what my initial... And I said, well, no, that's important to hear, you know, because that's my father watching it as he did, which is on and off, is probably the majority of the American people. And as you saw the, was it the Emerson poll that came out that showed independents, have you seen that swing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's reversed itself. It was 49% of independents... we're leaning towards impeaching the president, and 38 were not, and it's now 49% or something like that. I'll get it here. I don't have it in front of me. Something like 49% now are against impeachment, and 34 are for.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is based on the optics of what you see. And when you see a lot of people, what do they expect in a courtroom? They expect, really, and I hate to go back this far, but they really do expect Joe Friday.
Yeah, right. Yep.
They expect just the facts, ma'am. You know, they expect law and order.
Yep. They do. They expect the truth.
They expect what we see in a lot of the court shows today. And not only that, when you look at, forget about even the fictional court shows.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at, you know, Dateline and 2020 and when they... Well, Friday, Saturday night, all I know is my mother's watches all the time.
Yeah,
and they go through the court case. And what do they go through? Did they sit there and say, this person as a witness lived a wonderful life and was a business person and gave to charities?
Nope.
No, the only thing that matters is what is the fact? And so I think that when you're sitting there, a lot of Americans will view you're on the witness stand and they hear you and they say, what's his self-promotion? Just tell me whether he did something wrong or not. That's all I want to know.
Yeah, I mean, it's relevant facts. It's relevant. What is your experience? What is your knowledge? Your firsthand knowledge, especially, and the entire thing. Because really, what it came down to with Fiona Hill was again a difference in policy.
Yes,
the way it should be. Many of us felt, or I don't care about how you feel. By the way, the president doesn't care about how you feel, and the president doesn't care about how I feel. Whether you and I can, in fact, we called him out on Syria a couple of times and said, you know, we think this is a bad move. Well, we didn't ever say that the president doesn't get to make that decision. He's the commander in chief. In fact, we were very clear to point out that he gets to make that decision.
And I'm assuming if the president heard our, in the past, our criticism of him, he'd probably say, those are two idiots overnight.
Yes.
And then you and I could go and testify and say, the president hurt my feelings.
Well, he would probably say something.
He called me an idiot overnight.
Yeah, he'd probably say something to the effect that, you know, nothing good happens overnight. Only the worst shows are up overnight. They're clearly being punished for being morons and losers, and everybody knows it.
And then we testify. Our feelings were hurt.
Yes, no.
That was such a brutal attack upon us.
I don't know why he had to tweet about me.
I mean, Washington politics, where somebody gets on your case because they disagree with you?
Man,
I just can't imagine that.
If the president were tweeting about me, I'd frame it. And then I'd go show it to my dad, and my dad would say, you know, the president has a point about you, you know.
Well, do you know, I haven't framed it yet, but when I got let go, when I was working at a station in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
And they were owned by the Portland Trailblazers.
Right.
And so the letter terminating me is on Portland Trailblazer.
A letterhead.
And by the way, I still have great, great friends back there. And I heard that the person who fired me said about a year later, I probably made the wrong decision.
Ah.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
not
be here.
For you.
Not for me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be here.
Yeah, right.
No. But I'm still great people. I love them. I love them all. I never take
fond memories.
You don't take anything personal in this business.
No.
You just don't. You just. No. I see it all the time. People. I got fired. I can't believe that they. Do you know what business you're in? It's radio.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I know.
Did you think this was a government job?
Right.
But. I have shown it to people and later on people have come on and they said, what? What's this? I go, oh, that's when I got let go from the Blazers. You were on the Blazers? Because it doesn't say radio. It just says, you know, this is your last day.
Right.
Here's what we're doing and everything else.
Trailblazers.
And I said, well, yeah, I played with them, you know, in the late 90s.
Really? You should get a mock jersey, you know, get a jersey and put McNamara on it.
And take a picture of me now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. That's when I played for them.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, I was that white guy at the far end of the bench.
Yeah, right. Short holding the water bottles. Yeah.
But again with Fiona Hill getting back to her, and when she did that, I went because she is the one that has come out. And said that she believes that Christopher Steele was played. And she talked to him in 2016. We found that out yesterday.
Yeah.
She thinks he was played. She believes, and remember, she's an Adam Schiff witness.
Right.
And she believes, think about this, and this really works well with what CNN broke yesterday. CNN broke, we're not kidding, CNN broke a possible real-life bombshell.
No, it's actually a legitimate story. Now they put their spin to it in the first paragraph. When you read it, there is a paragraph that, of course, they had to throw in a couple of comments, non-comments. But but they get into the meat of what might be going on as a result of the IG report.
This is the first leak from the IG report on FISA abuse, and it goes right to the heart of the matter of what Eric and I have always talked about. And so we'll get to that coming up here in just a couple of moments. And people, if you don't know, if you've been getting ready for Thanksgiving week next week, the IG report will be out on December 9th. But when she did that, everything sort of is tainted. So I hope that didn't lose it. Now, she said it, and so it's been out there in the news, you know, big time that Christopher Steele got played. And it was Russia disinformation and propaganda. And nobody in the media has put that two and two together.
Right.
Because that means that our intelligence agencies and the FBI,
yes,
under the Obama administration, was played by the Russians.
Yep. And they used it. And here's the thing. Look, that's on them. If it's found that there was, and remember, it was, didn't Bruce Orr testified that behind closed doors, that in the summer of 2016, I think he said August of 2016, he had told people in the Justice Department that the dossier could not be verified, that it was not verified. He testified as such. Now, his wife, Nellie Orr, worked for Fusion GPS. He was a high level. He worked at a high level at the Justice Department. And if others were told, if he was being honest, others were told it was unverified, that means they were willing to let the Russians manipulate all of that. They didn't care. They were going to use it to their political benefit.
Yeah, because they had, because if she said exactly what we said, look, way back when, you have to understand how the Russians work. We said this.
Yes.
And
they invented propaganda.
Don't be surprised if they did propaganda and disinformation.
Right.
And the fact is, if we asked the question, you're telling me they didn't ask that in the FBI and the intelligence agencies, are we being played or not?
Yeah.
Well, Fiona Hill, when she came out and she just said, of course, this is their MO.
Right.
This is what the Russians would do. They would play and do this. Finally, somebody has said it, and still the media completely quiet on the implications there, huh?
Yep.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE, to just give you a tease about what we're going to be talking about. The CNN story that came out last night, there it is. Exclusive from CNN. Former FBI lawyer under investigation after allegedly altering document in 2016 Russia probe. A former FBI lawyer is now under criminal investigation after allegedly altering a document relating to the 2016 surveillance of Trump campaign advisor. Several people briefed with the matter told CNN. The possibility of a substantive change to an investigative document is likely to fuel accusations from President Donald Trump and his allies that the FBI committed wrongdoing. No blank, Sherlock, in its investigation of connections between Russian election meddling and the Trump campaign. The finding is expected to be part of the Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz's review of the FBI's effort to obtain warrants under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act on Carter Page, a former campaign, a former Trump campaign aide. Horowitz will release the report in a month. It is unknown how significant a role the altered document played in the FBI investigation of Page and whether the FISA warrant would have been approved without the document. But still, that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty massive. And the fact that CNN is on a story and asking a question here about all of that tells you that there is going to be some credibility given to Attorney General Barr and Durham and that whole investigation.
And we'll have more like how Fox wrote it.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
For Travel Centers of America, here's your forecast.
Weather from the west that we've been following this week now marching toward the east. We'll continue to see the snow showers in the central Rockies extend into portions of the northern desert southwest. That rainfall providing some flash flooding for portions of Arizona and New Mexico, now into northern Texas, where we could even see a little bit of icing and some snowfall, especially for portions of western Oklahoma and western Kansas. That's all due to a low pressure area wrapping in cold air out of the north and then interacting with the frontal boundary, producing rain showers now for portions of northern Texas into the Arklatex region, right on up in through the Midwest. Expect rain pushing eastward throughout the day today for Little Rock along I-30, portions of I-44 in Missouri, and I-55. The system moves slowly east and will be in the deep south by the weekend. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Bobona Show.
And I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Harley, 866-90 Red Eye. Okay, before we get to the bombshell.
Yeah.
Couple of audio cuts. First off, one of the witnesses yesterday was David Holmes, who is counselor for public affairs at the U.S. Embassy in the Ukraine. Okay. He's right. The one that claims that, you know, he heard Sondland talking to the president on the phone, not a speakerphone, on the phone, but it was so loud they could hear everything that the president said. The president responded and said he has really good hearing and has never been able to hear anybody on a phone that wasn't on speakerphone if they were talking to somebody else. So, of course, on CNN, Chris Cuomo has to test that out live on the air.
Yeah, of course.
And it doesn't work out as he would like it to work out. He calls his mom.
Oh, okay.
I'm not making any of this up. This is where journalism has gone. Here we go.
Because he needs to see who's with him and who isn't. Caitlin, thank you very much. Very interesting theory from our president that he has really good hearing. Some would say the best hearing ever. And he's never been able to hear a phone call when it wasn't on speakerphone from anybody. So let's just play with that for a second. Mom, can you hear me? All right. So if I were holding the phone here, I'm with Dana Basher. You know how you're always telling me to let her talk because she's so smart and I shouldn't say so much. Can you just say hello? Mom, she probably can't hear me. Mom, can you hear me?
Oh, man.
Yes, I hear you. When you talk to me, I hear you.
Puts her on speakerphone. What an idiot.
I'm smart, not like everybody says. Way to go, Fredo.
Way to go, Fredo.
Wow. remember the rule. Fredo's not supposed to be at the cabin, you know, if Michael was coming to visit. Mom, he can't be there. I don't know if that's, you know, still in play or not.
I mean, just you know, one of the things is here, nobody in the media, nobody in the mainstream media really wants to follow the facts of any of this. They pick and choose, and we've always looked, whether it's Russia collusion that we followed, as closely as you can possibly follow for 2.5 years, and all the questions that we asked, and we'll have the bombshell coming out, which goes right to the heart of some of the first questions that you and I asked about this, and then the asking became, well, did this happen? And then it got down to, is this the path that Barr is going down? And is, you know, this the problem with the entire FISA warrant? As more information has leaked out over, you know, the months upon months that we've been dealing with this. But we've looked at it like investigators. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you don't end up looking like an idiot.
Right.
Number one, it's what we should be doing. Mm-hmm. Number two, you don't end up looking like an idiot like Cuomo.
Right.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, how
embarrassing.
How embarrassing. So, thanks for making Trump's point, Chris.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to show you. the second audio cut I want to play here, and you brought this up here just a couple of minutes ago. Not on the air, off the air, to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you were reading part of the transcript of Schiff and went, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, not
this
good.
Is, you know, when, with what he said here, immediately you and I went, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay, are they worried about the polls? And this was in his closing statement when he was pounding on Trump, and then he was got to the point of talking about, you know, how they will come to this decision of what they need to do. Here we go. All right.
When the founders provided a mechanism in the Constitution for impeachment, they were worried about what might happen if someone unethical took the highest office in the land and used it for their personal gain and not because of deep care about the big things that should matter, like our national security and our defense and our allies and what the country stands for. I happen to think that's why they put that remedy in the Constitution. And I think we need to consult our conscience and our constituents. And
right there.
Yep. It shows you that there, I believe it shows you what we have been asking for a while. Is their base wavering? Are they losing confidence when he says we have to consult our constituents, our conscience? You don't have one. The constituents, they have consulted them because it, I believe they've done internals. You don't even have to do internals to look at what's going on with the external polls, what's going on with the polls that you and I have been talking about, what you talked about, the huge swing with independents. This is the problem they have. Look, their base, that's not going to waver. Impeach, remove them from office, whatever you got to do to get it done, we don't care. We're not going to watch the process. We're not going to really play it out. Babylon Bee said it's been canceled after 5 episodes because of low ratings. I thought that was hilarious. But the whole thing is, you know, for them is a given. And on the right, you know, we've been tearing it apart for the sham that it is. It's the independents and that swing in independents and those districts you were telling me during the break. It's not just 31. It's what? Close maybe to 40?
I've seen 35 to 40 that are really up in the air.
Yeah.
Come 2020.
Yeah.
And so the 31 are the ones that actually voted for Trump.
Right.
The other ones are the ones that are really, really close. Mm-hmm. And so you have to, and they can only lose, what is it, 16?
Right.
They can't lose 17.
Right.
They can't lose 17 or they lose the House.
Right.
So it comes down to, and some of the thought process yesterday, just in general, looking at everything out there, is the fact that the Democrats' option may now be just to censure the president.
Right, yeah. Yep.
Just to get out, we've censured the president, he's been censured. You can't censor him, but you can censure.
Well, that's funny because you and I, when you and I were talking about that during a break earlier, I said, okay, great. Censure. Let's take that word out on the street and ask people what it means. And 99 out of 100 are going to go, it'll mean that they're going to control what he says.
I thought Trump couldn't talk anymore.
They're finally going to control his Twitter.
They censured him.
Yeah, right, exactly. I thought they took away his Twitter when they censured him. What happened?
No, that's censor.
Yeah, yes, different word.
But immediately I picked up on it because look, here's how I think. My conscience would have nothing to do with it. Right. My constituents would have nothing to do with it. If there was true bribery or treason, he's impeached.
Yeah.
And the polls would be moving the other way. What he is admitting is, I'm scared that by the way, we're not the only ones that said this. A ton of people went, whoa, did you hear his statements at the end? And a lot of people picked up on that.
Yeah.
Because what you would be saying is, this man is guilty of bribery. We all know it.
Yep.
And we're going to write the articles of impeachment, and we're going to impeach this president. And that is what I wish to do, not, now we have to consult our conscience and we have to consult our constituents. No.
No, no, no.
You're the lead prosecutor here.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you had any confidence, if you really thought it was there, he'd say it. So that's and then what you saw yesterday, the stories coming out. The sources saying that the Senate is going to go for a full trial. And now the Senate is considering, well, look, we don't need to do this quickly. We'll stretch it out as long as possible through the election season, through January, through February, through March. We get to set the timetable on this. The whistleblower won't come forward. The whistleblower is going to fight it in court. We'll sit and we'll wait.
Yep.
And we'll then start calling the witnesses that have been subpoenaed that we can get in. And we'll start creating a narrative of our own as through all of this, what is happening, the IG reports coming out, Durham's investigation, in all likelihood, hopefully will be done in the next 6 months.
Yeah.
And so what they're saying is, go ahead, impeach him. That's what they're saying. Go ahead and impeach him. And that's what's coming up next is now the Republicans are going to control it. We're going to have subpoena power. And we're going after Adam Schiff. We want him as a witness. We want to find out whether he was involved in witness tampering.
Right.
Yep. And we want to find that out. We know he lied. Everybody knows he lied. Right. He lied about the whistleblower. He lied about contact with the whistleblower. Washington Post gave him 4 Pinocchios. He's a factual witness. We're going to subpoena him.
Yep.
We're going to try for, and people say you can't subpoena. Yeah, he's a factual witness in all of this.
Yep.
And so you go for it all, and then with the Republicans in control, you get to the heart and the meat of this matter, and that's what they're telling Democrats. If you want to go down this road, that's what you're going to, and every single, as this goes on every day, and we're pounding it every single day, and the evidence, just like now, moves in the opposite direction of anything indicting Trump. And just like Russia collusion, it comes back right at you. We're going to do all of this. We're going to be pounding on those districts all the way up through the election. You want to do this, go ahead. And that's where I heard yesterday sources saying that the thought process from some Democrats is not impeachment, but censuring.
Right.
I'm like, oh, man.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder, the president probably prefers impeachment because that's the big move that would rally his base, but they can't get that done. That it's not going to get done. Tell me how they come back December 3rd and put this thing together. You saw that the talk in the House or in the Senate rather was that they would like to keep, between the White House and the Senate, there was communication, they would like to keep the trial in the Senate to 2 weeks. And I thought, okay, that story got out for a reason. What they were telling Democrats is, oh, no, we're not going to squash it in a day or two. We're going to take it a full 2 weeks because that's the way I saw it.
Right. But then the other story came out that said the source is saying, no, there's the debate now going in that the Republican senators are meeting and they want to carry this thing on for months.
That's a possibility of months. Yeah,
right.
That's what I mean, is that they're basically telling the Democrats, no, we're prepared for you guys to go through with impeachment. And whether it's 2 weeks or months,
right.
Because what the story had become, it came from McConnell saying early on, look, we do have to take it up, but it doesn't have to last long, right? And then that story kind of kept circulating. He said something to that effect again a week or two later. And then that was the last we heard about that. And we started talking about, wait a minute. If the Republicans are very confident that the head count's not going to change, because it's not. In fact, you brought up the fact that, wait a minute, forget about the Republican head count. It's the Democrats in the Senate, because if you're worried about a district over in the Senate, you're definitely worried about a state. And you know there are a handful of Democrats over there that don't want to take that on, don't want to be on record on voting for not just impeachment, but conviction, removal from office.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
So we'll get to that and a whole bunch more coming up. Plus your calls and comments, 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. What happens now? Well, they could still, the House Intelligence Committee could still have closed-door interviews.
Yeah.
They could still call for more public testimony.
Yeah, right.
But eventually they will write the report whenever they decide to write it. Then they give it to the House Judiciary Committee. Nadler gets it.
Good. That's going to be fun.
And they could hold hearings.
You know, here's my question. Have they not learned their lesson? Because you ask yourself, who would you call? Who would you call?
This is when you go for Bolton, hoping that Bolton is the one that's the nail in the coffin.
And he's not going to show up unless they go through court.
Right.
So that's not going to happen.
Right. And then, but the Judiciary Committee will be the ones that will write the articles of impeachment if they decide to go down that path.
Yeah. Well.
And Nancy Pelosi said Thursday they don't know, they haven't made any decision on anything.
Right. I think they're looking at internal saying this is a loser. And they're going to try and do some holiday time kumbaya. Listen, we found evidence, but right now we believe the best thing to do is censure this president and move forward. But here's the thing. Does that backfire?
The president is not above the law, but we're not going to go after
him. We're not going to pursue it. Can they even censure?
Can you sell that one to the left?
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
can you sell anything to the left? They're going to be mad.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE, redeyeradioshow.com, where we stream live. And if you can't listen live, you can listen to our app. You can listen to our shows on our app.
Yeah.
Whenever you feel like it. Yes. Got a couple of mega supercalifragilisticexpialidocious bombshells.
Dun, dun, dun. Well, it is Bombshell Friday.
Oh, it is Bombshell Friday.
It is.
I forgot about that. Bombshell Friday.
We have, and it's a bonus show, so these are bonus show bombshells.
Get right to it, because everybody's like, shut up and get to the, what are the bombshells? Washington Post. Lindsey Graham launches probe into Biden's Burisma and the Ukraine. Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham sent a letter to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on Thursday. Day of the testimony here.
Yeah.
Requesting documents relating to former Vice President Joe Biden and his communications with Ukrainian officials, a step seen as a GOP effort to counter the House impeachment investigation of President Trump. That's from the Washington Post.
All right.
The inquiry by Graham is focused on any calls Biden may have made to the former Ukrainian president regarding the firing of the country's top prosecutor, as well as any that referenced an investigation of Burisma, Ukrainian natural gas company that employed Biden's son, Hunter Biden.
Mm.
There you go. Look, there's been pressure for Lindsey Graham to do something. The conservative media over the last couple of weeks have been pounding on him to do that. I think there's a lot of frustration from Trump supporters and conservatives in general, because what they have heard for the last almost 3 years is just a constant public pounding on Trump. But they never get any evidence that actually sticks.
Right.
But I think it just drives Trump supporters and conservative nuts that it continues, and there doesn't seem to be any fighting back from Congress.
Yeah.
Well, let me state this right now. I would rather have a legal outcome than a political outcome.
Yeah.
So I know it's been, look, Eric and I do this every day for a living.
Except in the case, by the way, I'll put an asterisk there, except in the case of Hillary Clinton not being president.
Okay. I meant a political decision such as censuring or impeachment, not electing as. You have a point.
I just want to throw that in for that exception.
Well,
I know our audience will call us on it. So.
Well, I know that the media, there are certain things that the media won't acknowledge. Look, we'll get to it later on, but there's, I forgot who did it. I don't know if it was the Federalist or whatever, but they went down and said the media the media saw Ukraine interference in the election until they didn't see it anymore, which is when Trump talked about it, and they go through all the different articles that was written about possible Ukrainian interference in the elections over the last couple of years. We'll get to that a little bit later on in the show, but the fact is there is this mindset that exists and this frustration that exists for many Trump supporters and Republicans and conservatives that we should be fighting the same way that they do.
Right, yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. Look at what just happened. As we said yesterday, you have the Democrats. Yesterday is when I said to you, I said, did it almost seem like that the Republicans are controlling the narrative?
Yeah, right. And they were the majority.
Like they are the majority right now because the points they're making are so great and the Democrats seem lost and they have total control over everything. They have not played fair in this at all. There has not been transparency at all. And every time they get transparency, it works against them. Every single time.
I think they need to consult their conscience and their constituents.
So I look at it and Russia collusion. The media may not acknowledge it, but they're going to have to. They started yesterday with CNN, with coming out from the IG report.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that here in just a moment. But the first leak of the IG report. And so they're going to have to cover it.
Mm.
And it's, look, I would rather have a legal case where it's either we've got the evidence or we don't, than the crap that we've seen politically here. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that if Lindsey Graham finds something wrong with the Biden thing that you don't investigate it further, and you go to the Department of Justice, you hold hearings, you do the same thing. It's the war. Yeah, it's a scorched earth. It's the scorched earth that we're in right now that the Democrats decided to do. And I think then the president said, fine, you want scorched earth? We'll do scorched earth.
Mm-hmm.
But you think about it. I mean, yesterday and the day before, the president, I'm exonerated. It's over.
Right.
I mean, right in their face.
Yeah.
And then, and that's why a lot of people notice that when Schiff came back and said, well, we'll have to basically consult our conscience and our constituents.
Yeah.
Excuse me, what are you talking about? Either you have evidence to impeach or you don't. Either the crimes are so clear of treason, bribery, or high crimes and misdemeanors that you know what you're going to do or not. There is no, well, I need to consult my conscience. Why?
No, you've already said he's not above the law.
Right.
You already said it's clear.
Right. You said it's clear. He committed bribery. Lay it out.
Right. I mean, you guys are the ones that brought it. You believe it.
We eventually find out the truth. I remember in April, the beginning part of April, spring of 2017, and even through the summer and fall, how many calls do we get from our listeners saying, we're never going to find out the truth and they're going to bury Trump?
Right, yeah.
Because everybody's against Trump.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna find a crime,
right?
And we're never gonna. What we got more than anything is we're never going to find out the truth,
right?
Well, we have.
Yep.
We have.
It's very clear.
And we said back then in the spring of 17, Watergate took a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
It takes when you have things like this that happen. Sometimes it takes years to get to the bottom of it. And what are we doing now? We're getting to the bottom of it. Well, look, what do we know already? That what the Russians, what the Democrats claimed the Trump campaign did, colluding with the Russians by their own standards and definition of what collusion is, they did it.
Yep.
Nobody debates that with us anymore because you can't. No Democrat, not one of you Democrats can debate that because it was a Hillary campaign and the DNC that sent campaign money, funneled campaign money to Christopher Steele, who then As Fiona,
played by the Russians, according to Fiona Hill.
As according to Schiff's witness, Fiona Hill.
Yeah, the star witness.
The star witness got played by the Russians.
Yeah.
And they gave him disinformation and propaganda from Russian intelligence that then the FBI under the Obama administration and the intelligence agencies in the United States tried to legitimize in order to get a FISA warrant, that's the FBI, mm-hmm. and then the intelligence agencies trying to disseminate it after the election through all of the departments, getting Obama to open up all the different departments so this thing would leak in order to destroy the legitimacy of the 2016 election. And the evidence they were using, according to Fiona Hill, mm-hmm. Adam Schiff's witness, was disinformation and propaganda.
Yeah.
From Russian intelligence. And Trump's the problem? Really?
Yeah. I mean, it is... The way this thing is playing out is it just makes you... Well, first of all, it reeks of arrogance. The arrogance of those in the former administration who believed they could get away with that kind of bogus surveillance of his campaign. Because that arrogance came with that overconfidence that she was going to win. That's why you do those things, because there was no way. Remember, they had an insurance policy. There was no way he was going to win. So you gather that and you're playing along. Everybody's high-fiving in the hallways. No problem. And then, oh, wait, he wins. Well, then it's the same thing with impeachment. White House counsel says right after the phone call, we want to move this to a secure server. The transcript of that phone call, we're going to move it to a secure server. And somebody there inside takes it to another person and says, hey, I got some goods. That person, who was called a whistleblower, and they're not, went to Adam Schiff and said, we got the goods. Yeah? Yeah, but they put the transcript on a secured server, a classified server. Oh, wait a minute.
They're trying to
make claims. They're going
to
hide that all day long. We'll never see that transcript. They'll never release it, which means we can make claims that they won't be able to dispute. And then, oh, wait, there's the transcript. They got played. I mean, I'm telling you right now, whether this president wins another term or not, he played the Democrats like a fiddle.
Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz has found evidence that an FBI lawyer manipulated a key investigative document relating to the FBI's secret surveillance of a former Trump campaign advisor enough to change the meaning, the substance of the meaning of the document, mm-hmm. according to multiple reports.
Right.
The not bombshell, according to Fox News, the show-stopping development.
Oh, wait a minute. The show-stopping development.
Yes, comes as Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham told Fox News that Horowitz's comprehensive report on allegations of Foreign Intelligence Service warrant abuse against the Trump campaign will be released on December 9th. Mm-hmm. That's locked, Graham said. The new evidence concerning altered document is expected to be outlined in Horowitz's upcoming report. CNN first reported the news, which was largely confirmed by the Washington Post. So...
Mm.
Somebody in the Inspector General's office or Department of Justice leaking to the Washington Post this and CNN and not Fox?
Right.
Just throwing that out. And I talked about, is that a way to legitimize it?
Well, because you think about it. If somebody at the Department of Justice wants to leak this out, are you going to go to the Washington Times, the Wall Street Journal? You're going to go to Sarah A. Carter or John Solomon or Fox News? No, those are the people who have actually been covering the story. And it will just look like another story that they've been covering. Part of the, what is it? Conspiracy theory. Well, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Is CNN now participating in the conspiracy theory that they've been blaming Fox News for? But you would go to the liberal media and you would go to a dog that is really looking for a bone. When you throw a bone to a dog, you want the hungry dog, and CNN's hungry because they're losing viewers.
Republicans have long argued that the FBI's alleged FISA abuses, which came as the Bureau aggressively pursued ultimately unsubstantiated claims of criminal links between the Trump team and Russia during the 2016 presidential campaign were politically motivated. Earlier this week, the Department of Justice highlighted a slew of anti-Trump text messages sent by ex-FBI agent Peter Strzok when he was leading the counterintelligence probe into the Trump campaign. Sources told Fox News last month that U.S. Attorney John Durham's separate ongoing probe into potential FBI and Justice Department misconduct in the run-up to the 2016 election through the spring of 2017 has transitioned into a full-fledged criminal investigation, and that Horowitz's report will shed light on Durham's on why Durham's probe has become a criminal inquiry. Horowitz's finding here has reportedly been forwarded to Durham. So there you go. At that particular point, then if that is true,
yeah,
then there is a, at least one criminal referral coming.
All right. So here's my question. Who gave that attorney at the Justice Department at the FBI a directive to do that? Because an internal attorney doesn't necessarily act on their own, although we do need to keep in mind that some of the players in the whole scenario were attorneys, Lisa Page included.
Yeah. Well, if it, you know, and you could wonder that.
Right.
But the question is, there will be hell to pay if this is the FISA application.
Right.
If this is the census, yes. If this is it, the FISA application, everything comes crumbling down.
Yeah. Point. And if it's Lisa Page, forget it. I mean, if it is, and we don't know, we have no idea, but we have to look at, because an attorney, an internal department attorney, would be getting a directive if they're not acting as a part of a conspiracy. It's one of those two.
Well, what you do at that point is you go to that attorney, and that's the person who you give immunity from prosecution.
Yep.
I'm not saying you do.
Right.
You possibly do. I can't possibly know what they plan on doing because I don't know what they have. But that's always the possibility in order to get the person who, if there was a person who told them, you interview them and say you get immunity or you get a deal.
Historically,
here's your deal.
Yeah, historically, it is that first person that they go after is usually the person that they're looking to turn.
But here we go. Here we go.
And CNN carried it.
We've been waiting 3 years for this.
Wow.
It was really 3 years is when they were talking about this. Is all they right now is when all the dissemination and talk of getting that the dossier into the hands. Isn't this around the time that McCain got it? Or was that later in December?
Was it December or was it in November? The fall?
November. I thought it was November or December.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to look that up.
Do some research, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
All right, 866-90-RIDE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's go to Kent in Tacoma, Washington, about the impeachment inquiry and the news that Horowitz's office has found evidence that an FBI employee altered a key document in the surveillance of Carter Page. Hi, Kent. You're on the radio. Welcome.
Hello.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
The reason they're doing that is they want to get out in front of the story, put their own spin on it. They know the story's coming out, so it makes them look better, so they can be the first one out there. And plus, all the telltale guys the deep state guys in the Justice Department and the FBI.
Oh, okay, but Ken, here's the problem. You can't spin this.
There is no spinning it. It either happened or it didn't. There's either evidence or there's not.
Right. You can spin hearsay. You can sit there and you can say, well, Trump has always made this allegation. That's fine. But you can't spin altering a document. If you alter a document, you either have the evidence or you don't. And if you got the evidence, There's no way to spin that.
And we'll know by December 11th at the latest if this is, you know, if this is part of it when Horowitz actually testifies, you know, and we may know as early as December 9th when the IG report is expected
to. Well, we may know a lot more if these leaks, because that's a pretty big, let's put it this way, that's a pretty big leak.
And by the way, a leak that CNN didn't sit on. Now, it was, you know, throughout the evening, there were a couple of people on Twitter saying, look, it looks like they're trying to bury the story because Wolf Blitzer did air the story, but then Anderson Cooper didn't say anything about it. I don't think Aaron Burnett did. And I just don't, I think it was Chuck Ross that tweeted, you know, it looks like they may be burying the story, may be done with it. Look, I don't care what CNN does with it. First of all, they aired it. They aired it on Wolf Blitzer. They put it on the website. It's out there. The fact that they took it at all is a big deal. The fact that they put it and put it up for all to see is a big deal. Whether they pursue it or not, that's up to them, and I really don't care. They did, and it's interesting that it was CNN, and not the Wall Street Journal.
And everybody is referencing
CNN.
In their story.
Okay, boomers. I mean Gary and Eric.
No.
Red.
No.
I.
No.
Radio.
I'm Gen X.
No, he's Gen X. Yeah.
Can't say that to me.
Yeah, that's an inaccurate deep voice guy.
Yeah.
Statement.
Yeah, well, it's Friday. We'll give him a break.
Fake news.
Fake deep voice guy.
Fake deep voice guy.
Fake deep voice guy bombshell news.
Only I am a boomer.
Yeah.
Eric is Gen X.
Okay, boomer. We have an update to the story.
Yes. okay, boomer. this just out in the last 20 minutes or so from Fox News.
Yeah.
Here's the headline. Horowitz reportedly finds FBI lawyer falsified FISA data. Washington Post stealth deletes Peter Strzok connection.
Uh-huh.
Here it is. Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz has found that an FBI lawyer manipulated a key investigative document related to the FBI's secretive surveillance of the former Trump campaign advisor enough to change the substantive meaning of the document, according to multiple reports. The new evidence concerning the altered document, which was related to the FBI's FISA court-warrant application to surveil Page, is expected to be outlined in Horowitz's upcoming report. CNN first reported the news, which was largely confirmed by the Washington Post. The Post, after publishing its story, removed the portion of its reporting that the FBI employee involved was underneath Peter Strzok, the FBI since fired head of counterintelligence. The Post did not offer an explanation for the change. Earlier this week, the Department of Justice highlighted a slew of anti-Trump text messages sent by Strzok when he was leading the Hillary Clinton email investigation and the probe into the Trump campaign. Horowitz reportedly found that the FBI employee who modified the FISA document falsely stated that he had documentation to back up a claim he had made in discussions with the Justice Department about the factual basis, that's a quote, for the FISA warrant application. The Post reported, then the FBI employee allegedly altered the email to substitute his inaccurate version of events. The employee has since been forced out of the FBI.
Along with her boyfriend.
Okay,
we added that last part.
Now you said that the Washington Post.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so here's what the Washington Post writes about it. They say, that Horowitz, the Justice Department Inspector General, found evidence that an FBI employee may have altered a document connected to court-approved surveillance of a former Trump campaign advisor, but has concluded that the conduct did not affect the overall validity of the surveillance application, according to U.S. officials familiar with the matter. And later in the story, they write that that conduct did not alter Horowitz's finding that the surveillance application of former Trump campaign advisor Carter Page had a proper legal and factual basis.
Now, are they saying that that finding and that finding alone?
Well, here's the paragraph before it so we can put it in context. Hopefully this will help. The employee was forced out of the FBI after the incident was discovered, two officials said. Horowitz found that the employee erroneously indicated he had documentation to back up a claim that he had made in discussions with the Justice Department about the factual basis for the application. He then altered an email to back up the erroneous claim. That conduct of altering the email did not alter Horowitz's finding that the surveillance application of former Trump campaign advisor Carter Page had a proper legal and factual basis, the official said.
It'll be interesting to see what's true in this and what isn't when the Inspector General's report comes out.
But, because the bigger part is right there, actually. Right. I mean, this is interesting that this story broke and that the liberal media is carrying it. But is it true that Horowitz did find that the surveillance, which would be the warrant, was legal?
Here's what I find interesting. The part that says, and look, we nitpick everything the media does.
Mm-hmm.
The part that says in the Washington Post article, the conduct did not alter Horowitz's finding that the surveillance application of former Trump campaign advisor Carter Page had a proper legal and factual basis, the official said. Nothing's in quotes.
Yeah, that's interesting. That, though, I think is the key here. We need to bookmark this and highlight that sentence because that's the biggest part of it. Did Horowitz really find that the surveillance application for Carter Page was proper? It was legal? And by the way, what was the basis of that finding?
And we're getting people that are familiar.
Yeah, U.S. officials, they said.
Yeah, U.S. officials familiar. Yeah. We're not getting a source says...
Right.
This.
Right.
Which, again, you know us in source stories.
Right. Well, again, also we have to look at what's within the purview of Horowitz. What does Horowitz have access to? The one thing Horowitz does not have access to is people who are no longer at the FBI.
Right.
He cannot interview. Now, he may... have found, because I really do want to focus on that one sentence. That's the big finding there. Did Horowitz find that the surveillance of Carter Page, which would start with the warrants, was legal and factual in its basis? Because, or did he say that according to the information that I have no reason to believe that it wasn't?
Well, because
there's a difference.
Well, if the dossier was used, it couldn't.
Well, that's my point, because what we said about if someone knowingly lied to or signed off on something knowing that the dossier was bogus and they signed on that application and included that dossier as a part of the application and presenting to the FISA courts, then that is perjury. That's an abuse of power.
Right.
It is perjury. But how do you determine what someone knew at the time? You can do that through documents, which Horowitz would have access to. But he doesn't have access to Comey, Strzok, McCabe, Lisa Page, or any of them that are no longer there. He could not interview them after they were gone.
Right.
So
right.
That then falls under the purview of the Justice Department if they believe there's anything actionable.
Right, yes. right. So did he write it that way, or did he just say, look, this is what we have. This is what we have here. We know that this was written wrong.
Right.
and this employee was fired when we found out about it. And so that they might not have interviewed that employee.
Right.
Because we don't know. They don't have a timeline on that. But is that an assumption that's being made by the intelligence officials because nothing's in a quote?
Well, because
is that because it can't look if they use the dossier to get the warrant.
Mm-hmm.
Then we know that the warrant was gotten based on false information, according to Fiona Hill. Then
right.
it was a significant portion of the evidence because they couldn't get a FISA warrant earlier that year, as we all know.
Right. Without the dossier.
What evidence did they use to push it over?
Right.
If it was the dossier that changed the judge's mind, it's bogus.
Yes. And so this is my question, because it is how the story is written.
Yes.
That makes the difference, because Horowitz may, in his report and in his testimony on December 11th, may indicate that I have no evidence that it was improper or illegal. That's different than saying that it's proper and legal. What he's saying is, I have no evidence that it was improper. What he could have said, and that's why we need to hear from Horowitz. That's why he will testify on December 11th, because there's a clear difference. In other words, Horowitz has limitations. He only has certain, you know, access within his purview. He cannot interview anyone who is no longer there at the FBI.
Right. He can't subpoena. Right. Which I said, that's why all this stuff went to Durham. Because can keep the
investigation. Because Durham can then go and investigate the subjects at hand, anyone who is, because then it gets down to what they actually did and what their intent was and what their story is behind it. There is no prosecutorial power in Horowitz's office. He's going to issue this report. And the report, if you go back in the history of the IG and where he has testified, It at times is frustrating, but you have to remember, because it looks sometimes like milquetoast, but he only has access to data and employees that are still there. He cannot interview Lisa Page, Peter Strzok, McCabe, Comey, any of them, because they're not there. So he cannot do a full investigation. That's where the Department of Justice comes in. They take this, and believe it's actionable, and they believe that Horowitz was too limited and that he was unable to find, you know, conclusive evidence, then, and that it warrants a further investigation, then they'll move on it.
Interesting. And this is all going on.
Yeah.
And by the way, and you're reading the different media reports and how they spin it, whether it's Fox to the Washington Post to CNN. Really interesting to be going through all these articles right now.
It's changing as we speak right now. And it seems to be changing and evolving as we speak.
But the fact that the Washington Post had, this was somebody who worked under Peter Strzok and then took that out.
Yeah.
And Fox caught them doing it.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this is...
Well, because then it goes back to, did that person... Because if that person is no longer there, then Horowitz doesn't know who may have given him a directive to change anything.
Right, that's a great point. Yeah, you would
know. Did someone give him a directive?
Right.
And if it's Peter Strzok that gave him a directive, Peter Strzok is no longer there, you can't interview him either.
Right. Which is why it was passed on, as they said.
Yep.
This was passed on to Durham.
Yep.
Who has subpoena power. He's got grand jury subpoena power.
Yep. We'll see what Horowitz says on the 11th, but I'm really, and then beyond that, what Durham does with it.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Yesterday, the last day of the impeachment public hearings, we think. Let's go to George in York, Pennsylvania. George, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi, George.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey,
I am one of those 99 out of 100 that didn't know what censure was, so I Googled it. I'm not a millennial. I'm 55 years old. So so they're going to strongly, in very strong language, disapprove of the president. Haven't they been doing this since the day after the election? Number one.
Yeah.
Number two.
Yeah.
Number two. They're afraid of this Ukrainian. This is my theory. I could be wrong because I'm not always right. Mm. Only when I talk with my kids am I always right.
Yeah, exactly.
didn't Obama get caught on open mic saying, tell Vladimir I'll have more flexibility after the election?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
he
talked
to the Ukrainians. He talked to the Ukrainians into denuclearizing, and then Russia ran over them, killing 13,000 soldiers and taking a third of their country. Are they afraid this investigation that Trump is doing might expose Obama and the Obama administration for orchestrating the with our enemy, the arch enemy, the Russians, the taking of a third of another country?
Well, that's why we had stated that when they talk about bribery, anything of value, well, then you can make that case for Obama.
Oh yeah,
and sure, I made that case to a couple of people the other day when we were out golfing. I said, you know, they can make the case against. They went, what? I said, well, yeah. He said he wanted more that you know, wait till after the election. I'll have more flexibility to the former Russian president,
which means I can give you more if I'm reelected.
Right, I can give you more if I'm reelected, but we can't do this now.
Right.
We can't do this now, and I need to have this side deal with you
right.
so I can get reelected. Well, he's not acting in the best interest of the United States, and he's making a deal with a Russian president in order to get the value of winning the presidency as he is working against. This is the whole point, is he's working against the best interest of the United States. He believes he's working against the best interest of the United States because he believes it could hurt his reelection bid if this came out what he wanted to do with the former Russian president.
And he wasn't willing to do that.
Right. So if we want to play this game with Adam Schiff, we can do that all. Was one Republican calling for impeachment?
Nope.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Pilot Flying J Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE, redeyeradioshow.com, where we stream live. And if you can't listen live, listen to our app. You can still listen live on our app, too.
Yeah.
Listen live on our app or not live on our app. Whatever you wish to do. Many, many ways to listen to the show.
Yeah.
This is just getting to be fun, the back and forth here. CNN anchor Chris Cuomo made a stunning admission on Thursday night and failed to ask former FBI Director Andrew McCabe and former FBI General Counsel James Baker about the network's own reporting regarding an unnamed FBI official being under criminal investigation by the Department of Justice Inspector General Michael Horowitz. By the way, I think that isn't written right, that the FBI official would be under investigation by the Department of Justice
and Durham, not Horowitz.
Right. Yeah. CNN first reported that Horowitz had been investigating the FBI official who allegedly altered a document used to obtain a FISA warrant in order to survey a former Trump campaign advisor in 2016. Horowitz reportedly, okay, they've got it right here. Horowitz reportedly turned the evidence over to U.S. Attorney John Durham, who has launched a criminal probe into the origins of the Russia investigation. Right. So the criminal investigation would come from Durham, not from Horowitz.
Right.
So just
to make clear on
that. However, despite his network breaking the news hours earlier, Cuomo did not mention the report during his entire show Thursday night. most notably during his sit-down with McCabe and Baker, who are now CNN contributors. You break the bombshell story, the first leak out of the Inspector General's office, or the Department of Justice. We're not sure where it came from, either one. Nothing seems really to come out of the Inspector General's office, does it?
Right, exactly.
So did it come from the Department of Justice? But that huge bombshell, and Cuomo doesn't ask the two FBI people who were involved in that.
Right.
And they're not just guests, but CNN contributors. They work for CNN.
Exactly.
Instead, Cuomo, primetime anchor, spent the entire hour covering the ongoing impeachment hearing into President Trump. Of course you would, wouldn't you? I'm telling you, it's just a zoo right now. It really is.
It's going to be interesting where it goes, because we have to remember what Horowitz, what the role of the Inspector General is, and then
right.
We would have to wait to see if Durham sees anything there worth pursuing. You know, the story on the FBI low-level employee, as the Washington Post puts it, may be nothing. You know, I mean, it may go nowhere. It may not even play into something, and Durham may find something that is there. It's interesting that the Post writes that several witnesses were brought in to review the IG report, but they could not, as they have been able to in the past as witnesses, issue a written response to the report. And that would have to mean that somebody came into the Department of Justice.
I don't think they got the report. I think they got things that might have been said about them and whether they're accurate or not. They don't get to see the whole report.
Right. Right. Because it's classified, right. And those witnesses may not, but they were brought in. I'm sorry, they were brought into. Hold on, let me. In fact, let me make sure I get it right.
Okay. Barr said
comment,
that
he comment said that. To review and comment on sections of the report.
Right.
Barr
said that 2 weeks ago.
Right. The question is, why would they be brought in? Who are the witnesses, and do they have anything to do with this incident here that's being reported?
Yeah. And, of course, we don't know.
We have no idea.
Meanwhile, on impeachment, a new Emerson poll for November, now listen to this, found more independent voters oppose the impeachment of President Trump compared to October, when more independent voters supported Trump's impeachment. This is a second poll like this. In October, 48% of independents supported impeaching Trump, with 39% in opposition. Now, and this would be before even the second week, now the tides have turned. 49% of independents oppose impeachment, while only 34% support it. That's a 15-point margin in opposition of impeachment among independent voters, and you saw how it crashed just in weeks. You know, the supported impeaching Trump was 48% in October, down to 34. That dropped 14 points.
Yeah.
Right. And 49%, 48% of independents supported impeaching, 39% were in opposition. That's now 49% oppose impeachment. That's up 10 points. And so you can understand why Schiff is saying we need to basically check our conscience and our constituents to see what they think. And, of course, that's ridiculous, and that was picked up by a lot of people who said, whoa. Man.
Well, it's interesting because when was it? Was it the Tuesday testimony, at the end of the Tuesday testimony? You saw it in... he seemed to be unhappy.
Yes.
The chairman, Adam Schiff, with the way things had played out. And with Sondland and the whole thing. He seemed to be a little bit angered at the way it played out that day, with I think in part Sondland, some of Sondland's answers, and the, of course, the tearing down of the basis of, you know, the whole testimony, by the Republicans. Well, then on Thursday, that closing statement, we have to consult our conscience and our constituents. Well, that translates into, especially with the second part of that, that translates into, you know, the polls aren't working for us on this. And they know it. I don't know what their internals show, but the polls that you just cited and others show there are fewer people supporting impeachment.
Yep.
To what extent, and is the question, and we'll find out soon enough.
Jonathan Turley had a, this is a day and a half ago, he put out an article. Jonathan Turley, the constitutional law professor, who is not a Trump fan, but talks about the law, and he says Democrats seek to redefine the criminal acts to reframe the Trump impeachment. And he goes to bribery. He goes, you know, their definition of bribery is showing that the president withheld military aid even briefly for anything that would benefit him politically or personally. And he writes, it's a definition that would turn most discretionary decisions of a president into grounds for a bribery charge. Any president, all presidential acts, to some extent, are political since they're taken on by politicians.
Exactly. It's the whole point.
The same is true with members of Congress. Presidents often seek to convince other countries to take actions that would benefit them politically.
Yes. Just
then goes to extortion. The claim that Trump calling for a corruption investigation constitute extortion is even further off the mark. The most obvious basis for such a charge is the Hobbs Act, which prohibits extortion under color of official rights. Such violations occur when a politician demands a bribe for official conduct, like the claims against former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich, who demanded $50,000 in campaign contributions to increase Medicaid reimbursements to benefit a hospital. The problem is that military aid is subject to a large degree to executive branch discretion, which President Obama relied on to withhold aid to Egypt.
Yeah.
The case is even weaker when the aid was only withheld for a short period, and it's not clear the Ukrainians understood that the request for investigations might be an actual precondition.
Mm.
The only clear data is on August 29th, when an article in Politico discussed a possible quid pro quo. That, however, was just 10 days before the release of the aid without a Ukrainian commission to investigate. If that constitutes extortion, then most presidents and members of Congress have done it many times. Are repeat offender felons, as he has said. All such politicians actively negotiate for a variety of changes or actions in return for legislative or executive acts. Obstruction. Finally, Democrats have been alluding to obstruction based on the White House withholding documents and discouraging witnesses from testifying. Some have pointed out that the prior claims of obstruction in the Russia investigation were fundamentally flawed and are now debunked entirely by the failure to include them in the current impeachment. The obstruction theory today is even weaker. The fact that Trump waived executive privilege to an unprecedented degree in the special counsel investigation by Robert Mueller, making both witnesses and evidence available, President Obama presented a far more extreme position in withholding both testimony and documents from legislative committees. Moreover, waivers have been made in the Ukrainian investigation, including ordinarily privileged communications with heads of state. Witnesses have testified, including current White House staff like Alexander Vindman, without being punished. Most importantly, Trump has gone to court to seek judicial review of these conflicts between the legislature and the executive branches. He is entitled to do so, just as President Nixon and President Clinton did. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, look, it is this, again, disbelief, anger that he won, refusal to concede still by those who oppose him, regardless of what position they're in. We see it everywhere. You know, it's this belief that, well, he shouldn't have that kind of power. Well, you can believe that all day, but it's not the truth. He does have that kind of power. If you want to debate him, whether you work for him or not, then that's on you. You can debate him. You can disagree with him, but you cannot take away that power from him. I mean, we saw some of this with some of the courts, the federal courts, when the temporary travel ban was issued. You know, we said, look, these judges believe, these federal judges believe that they have a place in the Situation Room.
And they don't.
They don't. They believe that they should, because if the president doesn't have that kind of power, that if every move like that by the president, and by the way, we have to remind everybody it was temporary in nature, if he doesn't have that kind of power, if that, then, and that kind of move, that kind of executive order must be reviewed by the courts each and every time, then that means they have a place in the Situation Room and strategy and everything else.
In national security.
In national security, and they don't.
And they don't. And look, it was obvious, and even the left knew it. We go back to Meet the Press a couple of Sundays ago when the leftist panel was on there. David Ignatius, the NPR columnist who I can't, or commentator who I can't remember her name here at the moment, but and they were blunt. They said, look, you have to portray that basically Trump is evil, doesn't know what he's doing.
Right.
He doesn't know what he's doing in foreign policy, and we do.
Yep.
You win it by doing, we're like, well, there's no high crimes and misdemeanor. What you're arguing is that they need to cry. They need to say that Trump is mean.
They need to self-promote to put themselves at a higher level.
Right. They need to self-promote. They bring out to drama. We're the patriotic Americans who are here. We're completely and totally pure.
Yeah.
Trump is evil. We know better what to do than he does. He needs to be out of office.
Right.
That's what they were stating on Meet the Press. Not, it wasn't Eric or Gary or anybody other conservative or libertarian out there saying, look, this is what we were saying it.
Mm.
We were saying this was not about substance. But this wasn't us saying it. This was the other side saying it.
Right.
Who can't stand Trump, who hates Trump, but knows there's nothing impeachable here.
Right.
They were saying it before any of these hearings were held.
Right.
And that's what you really got out of this, was the fact of, it was obvious we're going to try to raise these people to the level above the president, that they are much more knowledgeable. And if the president doesn't listen to them, he needs to be impeached.
Yeah.
I can't. By the way, the left did wake up yesterday after the final testimony.
I think so.
The people that I know, at least people that I know on the left, all of a sudden were active on social media. They couldn't explain anything. But it was impeach Trump. This is obvious. The evidence is there. Impeach him. Jim Jordan sucks. You know, things like that.
Right.
Nothing of substance, as we do here on the show, breaking it down and saying, okay, what is the claim of what he did? What is the law?
Right.
And everything that we have said really has come to fruition again, to the point of Adam Schiff yesterday stating that they're going to have to consult their conscience and their constituents to figure out what to do here. Well, either he did it or he didn't.
Right.
You, there's no conscience here.
You moved forward and you believe it's clear. I mean, you've been saying all along.
Right.
He said for a long time on Russian collusion that he saw evidence. He had evidence of Russian collusion. So look, to now say, well, we got to slow down and consult our conscience. Number one, you don't have one, and your constituents, fewer of them are on board with you, and you know it.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. The impeachment inquiry, the bombshell
from Friday.
Yesterday afternoon here on Bombshell Friday. Not the end of the impeachment inquiry public hearings, but the story that came out from CNN, the Washington Post, and Fox has jumped on it, and others have since then, that in the Horowitz IG report coming down here in a couple of weeks. They have, it's been an FBI lawyer, an FBI official, somebody actually changed a part of a sensitive document. We don't know specifically what that document was, but is related to the Carter Page FISA warrant. And that has been handed over to John Durham as a part of possible a criminal investigation. The interesting thing is the Washington Post, according to Fox News, in their first version of it, had the person work for Peter Strzok and then took it out.
Mm.
Oh, boy, it's getting interesting.
Yes.
All right, hang on. We got Eddie coming up, Wayne, and more. We'll get your calls and comments here, give you the stage here to talk about it here on Bombshell Friday.
It's Bombshell Friday. It's also Bonus Show Friday. So we got Bonus Show Bombshells. You notice Bonus Show and Bombshell are both BS? Here's your forecast.
Weather from the west that we've been following this week now marching toward the east. We'll continue to see the snow showers in the central Rockies extend into portions of the northern desert southwest. That rainfall providing some flash flooding for portions of Arizona and New Mexico, now into northern Texas, where we could even see a little bit of icing and some snowfall, especially for portions of western Oklahoma and western Kansas. That's all due to a low pressure area wrapping in cold air out of the north and then interacting with the frontal boundary, producing rain showers now for portions of northern Texas into the Arklatex region right on up in through the Midwest. Expect rain pushing eastward throughout the day today for Little Rock along I-30, portions of I-44 in Missouri, and I-55. The system moves slowly east and will be in the deep south by the weekend. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Bonus Show.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. To you we go on the end of the impeachment inquiry and also the leak on the Inspector General's report saying that somebody in the FBI, in Horowitz's report that's coming out on December 9th, some FBI employee, some stories say an FBI lawyer, changed a very important document in a very sensitive document, which was part apparently of the paperwork needed for the FISA application. Don't know if it was the official FISA application or not, but a very important sensitive document. They changed what was in it and did it on purpose. It wasn't like an accident. They did it on purpose.
Right.
They were let go from the FBI after it was found that they did that. Again, how it relates to the FISA warrant, we don't know. Washington Post claiming that they don't say sources who have seen the document.
They say government officials.
Government officials who would have knowledge of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're very wary on it. Say in the Washington Post, it didn't change anything. Well, let me read it for you because you actually got to read it, don't you?
Right. Well, I think it's interesting too that
to be fair, you have to read it.
They also write that it had that the. The conduct did not alter Horowitz's finding in the surveillance application of former Trump campaign advisor Carter Page, and that he had a proper legal and factual basis. That's the finding. Because, again,
That's just the Post writing
that. And they say that Horowitz found that the employee erroneously indicated he had documentation to back up a claim he had made in discussions with the Justice Department about the factual basis for the application. He then altered an email to back up that erroneous claim.
That's fraud.
Well, okay. So the conduct did not alter Horowitz's finding that the surveillance application of former Trump campaign advisor Carter Page had a proper legal and factual basis? Well, if
then why did you
why would this employee feel the need to change it to alter an email? Why would you do that? Because you're claiming there was a factual basis and there wasn't, so you made it up. He altered an email to back up the erroneous claim about the factual basis of the for the application.
I don't know how the surveillance application could have a proper legal and factual basis if they use a dossier.
Right. Well, and again, if this employee altered an email to back up a claim,
right?
You essentially lied to back up a claim. You made it up.
Why would you do that? To make your case weaker? To make your case the same, or to make your case stronger?
You're claiming something, and you can't prove it. Right. So you altered an email. You're lying about it.
I'm not going to lose too much sleep yet over the Washington Post report. We'll wait till it comes out.
Well, because then they go on to say that the conduct didn't alter Horowitz's finding that the surveillance application of Carter Page had a proper legal and factual basis. How could it not? Unless they're saying that the item in question wasn't relevant. It had the FISA warrants for the application was justified anyway. Well, wait a minute, though. But was it legal? If you were to take that item away, then and it didn't appear in the actual application, that's one thing. But if altered information appeared in the application, then there cannot be a factual basis.
Yeah. Well,
for the warrant.
Here's the thing, too, with the FISA warrant, unless for the application for the FISA warrant with the dossier, they said, look, this was paid for by the Hillary campaign. We don't know whether it's Russian propaganda. We don't know whether it's Russian disinformation, or we don't know where it's the truth. We're just putting it in the FISA application for the heck of it. Unless they did that, there's not a factual basis for their FISA application.
Right.
And if they did that, they're not going to do that to begin with. They wouldn't include it if they had to say that, would they?
Right.
Who's going to include that in a warrant? And we have this information here that could be a lie. It could be Russian intelligence just playing with us here, or it might not be, but we're going to put this in the FISA warrant in order to get a secret. We're going to put this in the FISA application to get a secret warrant. What would a judge say? What, are you out of your freaking mind? Right?
Right. It's over and over again, and the left media's treatment of this president and everything surrounding all of this is maddening.
You said it the other day. You
can't believe it.
Don't believe anything anymore until you can verify it with multiple sources over and over again, and most likely get to the actual audio cut, the complete audio cut of the person saying it themselves.
That's right. I mean, that's basically what you need.
Right.
I mean, because you look at it again. This employee erroneously indicated he had documentation to back up a claim he had made in discussions with the Justice Department about the factual basis of the application, that being the application for the warrant. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So he made a claim when he was talking to them about the application, about the factual basis. He altered an email to back up that erroneous claim. And then their next sentence says, the conduct didn't alter Horowitz's finding in the surveillance application for Carter Page that it had a proper and legal factual basis. Well, wait a minute. If that action led to the application being approved, then it was not legal and proper.
Yeah. I'll say it. Is it you?
Is it me? I mean, it sounds like I'm reading from witness testimony here, and that witness now I'm having to question that witness from the whole impeachment thing, because,
well, did the U.S. sources, the government sources,
yeah.
Who communicated with the Washington Post?
Mm-hmm.
Did they see this directly, or did they hear it from a friend who heard it from a friend
who heard it from a lieutenant colonel friend
that somebody was messing around? Yeah.
Because it's impossible to know how many source stories turn out to be just flat out false.
Yeah, we know that. Yes, so.
You know, so like you said, you know, don't want to lose too much sleep over this. But I'm just, the way they wrote it here.
Yeah, I know.
That, you know, he had to, this employee had to go back and alter an email to back up his claim that he had made about the factual basis for the warrant. And in the next sentence, it says, yeah, but the conduct didn't alter Horowitz's finding that the surveillance of Carter Page had a proper legal and factual basis.
Well, that would have, right there.
Okay.
The action would have.
Well, exactly. Either Horowitz is smoking crack, or someone at the Post is.
We're on it.
We're on it. We're on it.
All right, for people.
Somebody's on it.
We have to explain that for a while for people that didn't hear this the other day. Where you may hear that a lot, where we're saying I'm on it or we're on it, and that all comes from the hilarity of the anti-meth.
Yeah.
Messaging from the government anti-drug group in South Dakota, and they came. They were trying to come up with a new slogan. And it was meth, we're on it,
mm-hmm.
to get people to stop doing meth. And the context is meth, we're on it. You're supposed to figure out is, oh, the government is on it to stop it.
Yeah.
But it came out meth, we're on it. And so they've been mocked severely because of it. And
yeah, and rightly so.
And the ad agency that did that. So when you hear us say, we're on it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean we're really on it.
Yeah. I mean,
it doesn't mean we're really on meth. It doesn't mean we're really on.
Yeah, right.
Well, it doesn't mean we're really on the story either.
Yeah, we'll leave out that third. Well, I'll just throw out that third possibility here that this was horribly written.
Yes.
At the Post, or that their sources, the U.S. government officials, are burning them.
It's happened before.
Yeah, we haven't heard from Horowitz yet about his findings on that warrant on Carter Page.
Yeah.
We will, but we haven't yet.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. What I liked yesterday was on social media after Fiona Hill talked about the fact that, that the dossier was, she believes, Russia disinformation and propaganda. And we've always said that's either they got it completely wrong when Christopher Steele approached the Russians, both in the United States or in Russia, or it's Russian disinformation and propaganda, and they were playing Christopher Steele, who then played the FBI and the intelligence agencies. But the other narrative coming out yesterday from a number of people on social media, I saw Molly Hemingway liked one of these comments out there, is that this is just taking it away from the fact that this was just a big setup by the Clintons and Christopher Steele made it all up.
Right.
And that's one of the other options we've always
right.
put out there, that
right, right.
Steele just made this all up
right,
and
right.
blamed the Russians for it
right.
and said he got it from the Russians, but it was just made up stuff from the Clintons, that it was the Clintons just making up stuff as they went along. And so there was actually some pushback on that yesterday. I don't know what it is. That's why we've always stated the different options that it could be.
Right, right, right.
But coming up following the top of the hour, we will play some of Devin Nunes and his closing statements, since we played some of Schiff's earlier on. Let's go to Eddie in Fort Worth. Eddie, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Oh, good morning, guys.
Hi.
Yeah, you still there?
Yep. Yes. Yep. Yes.
Oh, okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Anyway, well, what I wanted to say is what you touched on earlier is when they were, you know, they were talking about, God Almighty, I brain farted.
Okay, look. I'll tell you what you were trying to say, because you luckily you told our phone screener that the Senate, if they drag it out, would possibly be a good thing.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll help you out here. Don't worry. It's late.
Yeah.
It's early in the morning.
Yeah.
No problem, Eddie. No problem whatsoever.
Okay, boomer.
No, but that, Eddie was trying. We had said that earlier, that the Republicans are sending out, it might be 2 weeks. Well, maybe we'll take it months. Those are the stories coming out. And that's, I believe, the story coming out that, hey, we're willing to take this months. Let's go through well into January and February and March in this, is to let Democrats know, you think you did something? Wait till we get a hold of this.
Well, and then they've got, you know, you and I were talking actually during the break that, all right, the Senate takes it up and, well, wait a minute, we'd like to talk to the Bidens. I mean, this is something that Lindsey Graham is already on, and he has said before that during the impeachment thing that, look, we'd like to call the Bidens as witnesses. So then you've got
Judiciary Committee in the Senate.
Kamala Harris
started doing the investigation on the Bidens yesterday. The Washington Examiner story that an investment firm linked to Hunter Biden received over $130 million in federal bailout loans while his father was vice president and routed profits to a subsidiary in the Cayman Islands, according to federal banking and corporate records reviewed by the Washington Examiner. It may be all Biden from this point on.
Right, exactly.
And then you have sitting in on this, you have other senators that are running against him for president of the United States.
Yeah.
You want to do this? You want to play games with us? We can play games too, and we now control this game.
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, Kamala Harris, you know, is on that committee. And so she would have no problem taking on Biden. Biden sitting in front of her. Oh, yeah. All day long. Even if she's dropped out by then, there's not a problem with that at all.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.